Hello, friends, and welcome to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope this message will equip, encourage, and edify you in your journey of life. We'd love to connect with you. Please email us at info@coastlinecc.org. And for more information about our church and our services, visit coastlinecc.org. Now let's open our hearts and open God's Word. Verse 1, Daniel 6, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first. So Daniel had worked his way up, even as a captive, to a high-ranking position here in the kingdom, that the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Verse 4, then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. So they're jealous of Daniel. Here's this Israelite man who was supposed to be a captive. Now he's got a higher ranking position than these Babylonian people, and they're jealous of him. So it says they're trying to find reason to kind of catch him, to kind of make him lose that position because they're jealous. But it says in verse 4, they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, verse 5, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. The Babylonians were not a Christian nation. They did not believe in El Shaddai and God Almighty. No, they had their own idols and things like that. But they said, if we're going to catch him anywhere, we're going to have to use his God against him. Verse 6, then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, princes, the counselors, the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. So these princes and captains, everybody who was jealous of Daniel, goes to the king and says, hey, we got this great idea, king. How about anybody, no matter what they believe, no matter what God they serve, if they're going to pray at all for the next 30 days, they can only pray to you. And they were just kind of puffing up the king. And he's like, that sounds like a great idea. So just sign into law that anybody who prays to anybody but you, King Darius, is going to be thrown in the den of lions. So the king, obviously very flattered, signs the decree in verse number 9. And verse 10, we get to verse 10. Now we find Daniel, this faithful man of God. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God, the one true God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? And the king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not, which means you can't take it back. It's been signed. It's been sealed with the king's seal. Verse 13, then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee. He's not listening, king. He's not obeying the law, king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition, his prayer, 3 times a day. Now remember, the king had placed Daniel in his position. The king respected Daniel. Verse 14, then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver me. He said, I got to find a loophole here to help Daniel out. Verse 15, then these men assembled on the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed. So it's not looking good for Daniel at all. Daniel was a faithful man. He said, you know what? I don't really care about any law. Like I've done all my life, I'm going to pray to God. I'm going to have my window open. I'm not going to do it in hiding. I'm going to pray towards Jerusalem, towards my God. I don't care what the law says. This is who I am. This is what I believe. A man of faith. And we see now that this law is not going to be able to be changed. Verse 16, then the king commanded, probably again, obviously against his his hopes. The king commanded, verse 16, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. The sermon today, okay, is entitled this: I believe God's got my back. I believe God's got my back. That phrase, hey, I got your back, or, you know, hey, I'll watch your back. I looked up the origin of it, and there's really no definitive one, but they believe, you know, more than likely that it's a military thing. Soldiers saying, hey, I'm watching the area that you can't see. I'm protecting the spot, your back. You don't have eyes in the back of your head. No matter what teacher says, they got eyes in the back of their head, or parents in the car. Listen, we don't. We can't see what's behind us. So when you say, hey, I got your back, you're saying, hey, I'm watching what you can't see. I'm protecting what you can't see. And isn't it a great truth? Maybe this is a truth you're struggling to believe right now in a situation, but I want to challenge you this morning by the end of this sermon that you can say in your heart definitively, I believe God's got my back. Let's pray together, ask God to bless the message, and then we will jump right in. And Dan, you can shut those double doors too as we pray. Father God, we love you. We thank you for being so good to us. Thank you for the singing this morning. Thank you for all those who got here early to get things set up. Thank you for the time of prayer that was had this morning, Lord, before service, over this place, over your people. Thank you, God, for the truth in this morning's message from the story of Daniel, that I believe you have got my back. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. God, bless the sermon today. Help it to be a help and encouragement to your people. Help all of us in the room today when we leave, God, that we can say from the bottom of our hearts, even in the middle of a valley, I believe that God has got my back. We love you. We need you. In the name of Jesus, we pray and ask for all these things. Amen and amen. Have you ever felt surrounded by something you didn't deserve? Think about that question. Have you ever felt surrounded by something that you didn't deserve? Surrounded by gossip, surrounded by pressure, surrounded by anxiety or fear or fill in the blank. Surrounded by this valley, surrounded by something you didn't deserve just because you were doing what was right. You were living for God. You were doing what you were supposed to do. You had no hidden agenda, but still you find yourself surrounded by this trial, by this attack even. And that's where Daniel was. He wasn't thrown into the lion's den because he did something wrong. No, we saw it clear cut. He was thrown in because he did something right. He refused to bow to the king's decree that was going to go against his faith. So here's the question I want you to wrestle with today. Because let me remind you, in the Christian life, there are many things that we wrestle with. There are many principles that we will wrestle with. People, the one of the biggest ones is, why do bad things happen to good people? Questions like that. We have to wrestle with things sometimes. And here's the question with this sermon I want you to wrestle with today. Can you trust that God's got your back even when you can't see his hand? Can you trust that God is watching out for you, taking care of you, fighting for you behind the scenes? Can you trust that God's got your back even when you can't see his almighty hand working? Daniel 6 in verse 16, we just read it. The king had thrown him in. Let's continue reading. We're going to read the rest of the story. You probably already know what happens. If you've never been to church, you may have accidentally watched a VeggieTales or something like that and saw the story of Daniel. I don't know. But let's read the rest of this chapter really quick, and then we'll jump three things in regards to, I believe God's got my back, and we'll be done today. Verse 16, let's continue to read. He was just thrown in the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. That was just the law. The stone was laid over the top of the lion's den. The king sealed it. Nothing could be changed. He's in there. Verse 18, then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. The king was so distraught about what was going on with Daniel, he couldn't even sleep. In verse 19, then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel, a voice of probably a little bit hopeless. And he says, the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? And probably thought he was not going to hear anything but the lions licking their chops. But what happens? Verse number 20. After he asked the question, verse 21. Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. What a sound that must have been for the king. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths. And they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. Daniel came out of the lion's den unscathed, an impossible situation that God made possible. An incredible, true, factual story of the grace and power of God. And a story that shows that we as Christians in 2025 can say emphatically, I believe God's got my back. I've seen it in the scriptures. I've seen it in my own life. God's got my back. Three things with that this morning. Number one is this. I believe God's got my back when I stand alone. Ooh, I believe God's got my back when I stand alone. Daniel stood when no one else did. And by the way, you'll see in the book of Daniel another circumstance where three Hebrew boys in the same situation didn't bow down to the king's statue and were thrown into the fiery furnace, and God protected them too. In this situation, Daniel said, hey, no matter what anyone else says, I'm going to keep doing what's right. He stood when no one else did. When everybody else bowed to political pressure, Daniel prayed. Verse 10, we read it. It says, now when Daniel knew that the writing, the law was signed, he knew the law was there. It's not like he didn't see it. He knew that this decree was set up that no one can pray but only to the king. It says he went to his house, his windows being open toward Jerusalem, no fear. He kneeled upon his knees, not just once a day, three times a day, and prayed and gave thanks before his God, and I love this phrase, as he did aforetime, like he'd always done. That phrase, Daniel didn't wait for the crisis to start praying. He'd already built that habit, and the scriptures show it. He prayed just like he'd always done before. When you stand for God privately, he will stand with you publicly. Let me remind you of that, church. God doesn't just protect those who are perfect, because nobody's perfect. He protects those who are persistent. Amen. And we need to trust him. He has got your back even when you feel alone. Sometimes standing for God and for righteousness and for right at work or school or home will make you feel isolated. You're the only one. You're on your own. But remember this, you're never truly alone when you're aligned with God's will. God will protect you. There's an old hymn I've seen growing up. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner. Ye must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his armies will he lead, till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. We are called, yes, to worship God, but we are called to stand for God and stand for truth in a world that wants nothing to do with him. Praise God. If you look around now, you may see some sparks of revival in our country. And it's amazing to see in some aspects. But I'm telling you, there's going to come a time when you have a choice to make. It may not be on this big public stage, but it may be in a small moment at home or work or school or wherever, where you have a decision to make if you're going to stand for God or shut your windows and do what the king said. Church, listen, God's got your back even when you stand alone. Even if your stand for Christ, even if your stand for God and for truth and for righteousness gets you in the den, gets you in the lion's den, listen, he's already in there waiting for you. Remember that. Your stand for truth, I'm not going to back down. I'm going to stand for truth. I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to live for Jesus. I'm going to put him first in my life. Even if that gets you in the lion's den, God is already in there waiting for you. God's got my back when I stand alone. Number two, God's got my back when it looks like I'm losing. God's got my back even when it looks like I'm losing. The moment Daniel, could you just imagine? Imagine being Daniel. Listen, I hope that in heaven one day, when I get to heaven with God, I hope that there's a small room right off the streets of gold, right by the Crystal Sea, that is like a heavenly Blockbuster. Remember Blockbuster? Where I can go in and be like, oh, where is it? Okay, I'm in the D section. All right, Daniel and the Lion's Den. And I can bring it back to my mansion in heaven and pop it in and just wash it in living color. It'd be even cooler if it was like a 3D thing and I could just stand off the side and walk. Wouldn't that be amazing? Just imagine being, maybe it was virtual reality, like a MetaQuest thing, and you could actually be Daniel getting thrown in the den. I'm telling you, call me weird, I don't care. That's interesting to me. Just imagine. Imagine being Daniel. All you're doing is praying like you always have. Now you're being led away to this den of lions, just cave or whatever you want, whatever it looked like, and he's being thrown. Imagine him hitting the bottom of that lion's den, looking around and seeing all these lions around you. Not little, you know, kittens. We're talking full-grown lions, ready, hungry lions. And there's Daniel. God's got my back even when it looks like I'm losing. The moment Daniel hit the bottom of that den, it looked like the end. Obviously, the king had probably thrown people in the lion's den before. He probably knew that they barely even hit the ground before they were torn to shreds. That's why it says that he called unto Daniel the next morning in a lamentable voice. It wouldn't have been a crazy notion that Daniel was nothing left but bones in there. And maybe those got eaten too. But God's got my back, even when it looks like I'm losing. Just because it looks like you're losing doesn't mean God's done moving. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. The lions didn't disappear. God could have done that, but no, the lions stayed in that den. The lions didn't disappear, but their mouths were shut. And I bet you God didn't even take their appetite away. They're probably still hungry thinking, what is going on? I'm hungry, man. This guy looks good. But their mouths were shut. God shut the mouths of the lions. Sometimes, listen to this, church, pay attention. Sometimes God doesn't remove the danger. He just disables its power. Yes. Come on. Amen. Have you ever felt, listen, oof. Have you ever felt or been in a situation, oh man, where it does look like you're losing? It does look like everything's falling apart. And everybody else looking at you is probably like, oh my gosh, this poor guy, oh my goodness. But you, the child of God, are in the middle of that valley, and for some reason, you've got peace. Yeah. You're okay. And you're like, wow, this should really be messing with me in a real way. But for some reason, I feel a peace. Hey, that's God. That's the God that we serve. Amen. That's the God that we serve. Where we can be in the middle of a trial, in the middle of a problem, in the middle of a valley. Hey, in the middle of the lion's den, surrounded by fear and trouble and heartache, and yet still have peace and protection. Yes, the danger's not gone. Hey, the valley, you're still in it. The trial's still there. The lions are still there staring me right in the face. But God has disabled the power. He shut the mouths. The king sealed the stone. It looked final. But I've got news for you. The same God who rolled a stone away from the tomb in the New Testament was already showing his preview in the Old Testament. Because there was a stone put over the lion's den. All hope seemed lost. And guess what? Jesus was laid in a tomb and that stone was and looked like all hope was lost. But guess what? 3 days later, that stone rolled away. Jesus walked out alive to change the world. And in Daniel's story, that stone was lifted off. And he called back, "Hey, O King, live forever. I'm still here, baby." He was fine. God's got my back even when it looks like I'm losing. It feels like you're trapped. When it feels like you're trapped, and that's some of you today, that's some of you this morning, that's some of you in this moment, you came in feeling trapped. When it feels like you're trapped, trust that God can still work in the dark places. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You shine in the shadows. We just sang it. You shine, you win every battle. Nothing can stop him. The night Daniel spent in the den was the same night that the king couldn't sleep in his palace. God was working on both sides of the stone. Isn't that amazing? The king who's in his palace couldn't sleep. Daniel's probably using the lion as a pillow because they're not doing anything with him. Man, it probably was a nice warm night, probably a good night's sleep for him. God was working on both sides of the stone. God's got my back. Oh, man, do I need to believe that. God's got my back even when it looks like I'm losing. This is an old, old hymn that I loved growing up. I remember learning it on the guitar when I was like 14 years old. And it goes like this. It goes, "Be still, my soul. The Lord is on your side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to your God to order and provide. In every change, He faithful will remain. Be still, my soul, your best, your heavenly friend. Through thorny ways, leads to a joyful end." Listen, you might not see what he's doing. You might not see what he's doing. It may look like you're losing. You may feel like you're losing. You may be able to point this and be like, "Hey, come on, what do you think that looks like?" It may really look like you're losing, but God is already orchestrating your deliverance. He's got your back. He's got your back. Number three, lastly, God's got my back so his glory can be seen. Yeah. Amen. This is it, man. God didn't just save Daniel for Daniel's sake. He saved him to show a nation who the real king was. Amen. Come on now. Amen. Come on now. I'm saying it again. God didn't just save Daniel for Daniel's sake. He saved him to show a nation, hey, and one day to show a little church in West Yarmouth, to show people who the real king was. Amen. Daniel 6:26. This is after Daniel's out of the lion's den now. The king, he's alive. He brings him out. In verse 26, here's now what the king does. He says, "I make a decree," verse 26, "that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, woo, and steadfast forever. And his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall even be unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions." Do you see it? Do you see what's happening here? Because this heathen, pagan nation, come on now, I'm about to kick this over, man. I'm pumped. This heathen nation who worshipped idols and false gods and had just a few days earlier made a law that said you can't pray to anybody but the king, King Darius. Now that God has worked a miracle in Daniel's life and protected him from the lions is now coming back saying, hey, I got a new law. I got a new decree. The only one that we worship, the only one that we pray to is Daniel's God. The God of Daniel, who delivered him, who rescued him, who worked signs and wonders. That's the God we serve. That miracle for Daniel wasn't just about protection. It was about proclamation. This is who God is. God turned Daniel's test into a testimony that reached the palace and beyond. Your deliverance, my goodness gracious, your deliverance is never just for you.
That's right. That's right.
Woo! Come on. See, hot in here is just me. Your deliverance, church, is never just for you. When God brings you through, when God brings you through, it's not just for you, but so that others around you can see God working in you.
Yes, sir.
Maybe that's why you're going through what you're going through right now. Because God, yes, he's going to deliver you, yes, but it's not just for you. It's so that your neighbor can see, wow, look at their faith. God brought them through. Hey, you know what? I should ask them what church they go to. I should ask them what's going on. Someone around you, man, somebody around you needs to see what faith looks like in the lion's den. Honestly, I wish it was easier. Sometimes. Most of the time. I wish it was easier. I wish, man, sometimes I'm like, Lord, you really want to work through trials? Can't you just like write it in the sky for me? I can read well. You know, can't you just give me the lessons and the teaching, you know, on a billboard and I'm driving by, oh, wow, thank you, Lord. No. That's not how God works. God works in the lion's den. And there are people in your life that have been watching you in the lion's den. They've watched you be attacked. They've watched you be lied about. They've watched you come under really spiritual oppression. They've watched you struggle. And what God wants them to see when they look at you is faith. The kind of faith that says, hey, I don't like what's going on, but I'm going to, even if it's all my strength, I'm taking one more step. It may not look big to anybody, but it's big for me. I'm going to take one more step. Hey, you know what? I may even get to a point when all I can do is crawl. I'm going to crawl one more foot. I'm tired, Lord. I need you. This lion's den is wearing me out. But hey, you know what? I'm going one more. Oh, hey, you know what? Oh, my goodness. It just doesn't seem to stop. It doesn't seem to quit. It's one after the other after the other. But God, I'm going to get one more. Because I know you've got my back. You've got my back. And that's when faith becomes a force. That's when faith becomes a force. Daniel believed before he saw deliverance. I don't think Daniel went to the lion's den thinking, well, this is it. I'm all done. You know, no. He believed before he knew the law. He knew the consequence of his actions. But he believed before he saw deliverance. And that's what faith, church, Coastline, my friend today, that's what faith really is. It's believing that God's got your back before you know how he's going to do it. You don't need to have the strength of a lion when you've got the protection of the Lion of Judah. Amen. God is for you. So if you are in the den today, surrounded by fear, doubt, bills, bad news, broken relationships. Fill in the blank. If you're in the den today, remember, hey, God hasn't forgotten you. God hasn't forgotten you. God, hey, this side, God hasn't forgotten you. Middle, God hasn't forgotten you. This side, God hasn't forgotten you. He's still the same God who shuts mouths. And by the way, he can shut the mouth of a lion, and he can shut the mouth of those who speak out against God and who spread lies and gossip and just travesties of truth. God can shut mouths. He can shut the mouths. He can move stones. He can and will and does turn trials into testimonies. So when you walk out of your den, which you will, walk out like Daniel. Because it said it right there. It said it right there when he came out in verse number 23. Daniel was taken up out of the den. And guess what? No manner of hurt was found upon him. No manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. So you'll walk out of your den untouched, unashamed, unafraid, because you believe God's got your back. That old song, Amazing Grace, I'm not going to sing. I'm going to quote this last verse, though. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. It's grace that brought me safe thus far. And guess what? Grace. Ooh, hallelujah. Grace will lead me home. I believe. I believe God's got my back. Thank you again for listening to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope the message was an encouragement to your heart. Please connect with us through our website, coastlinecc.org, or on Facebook or Instagram. Send us a message, send us an email, and we'd love to connect with you. We'd also love if you could visit us for a Sunday morning service. You can find our address on our website, and our services start at 10 a.m. Our mission at Coastline is simply this: to know Jesus deeply and to show Jesus daily. I hope that we've helped you do that in your life today. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.